Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
We should say, from the bright lights of the Water Street Grill, welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network as we take you through 90 minutes of high school and a little bit of college football talk covering the Shore Conference. Kevin Williams along with Ed Sarluka, our broadcasting colleague Matt Harmon, I guess on special assignment again. Seems to get a lot of those special Thursday assignments. So we'll hold down the fort between now and 8:30, and certainly plenty to talk about. Just turns out, almost by coincidence, tonight we spotlight what are the top two football teams at the Jersey Shore here as we get close to the midway point of the season. Red Bank Catholic and Brick, both in the house, as they say. We'll be chatting with their coaches and a couple of their outstanding senior players. In addition, we'll speak a little bit later on with Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan. The Hawks coming off one of their most significant wins in many a year. And Scott Stump, our guy from the Shore Sports Network, our managing editor, is on the road tonight. It is a strange, you know, Ed, it's interesting. We normally open up with a recap of last week or the games from the previous weekend, but a little bit different tonight because we're speaking as a bunch of games are being played because of the Jewish holiday this week. Games spread out from this afternoon right through Sunday afternoon.
Sunday, exactly. Southern Regional and Howell, I believe, are playing on Sunday afternoon. But, yeah, and a few big games around the shore being played as we speak, which we will update you as we get scores. But the big one up at Rumson, St. John Vianney, and Rumson, St. John Vianney out real quick to a early lead in that one. That game was, took a little limelight off when Charlie Volker, the outstanding running back for Rumson, got a high ankle sprain. I understand from people at the game that he is in a walking boot, so obviously not playing tonight. It remains to be seen how long he will be out. So Rumson has got to go to running back number two.
Scott Stump is at that game. We'll hear from him a little bit later on. But as you said, Vianney, I believe, took the opening kickoff and went right down. Anthony Brown, their outstanding quarterback, hit four or five passes. They got in the end zone for the early 7-0 lead. There are a couple of final scores from games played this afternoon. Manasquan holds on to beat Ocean 14-7. How about Freehold? Freehold Borough now 4-0. The Colonials with a 17-6 win over Raritan. As we speak, one of the Shore's premier teams, Manalapan, trailed early to Middletown North 14-0. The Braves have come roaring back to take a 21-14 lead. Long Branch, this one should be a final by now. Long Branch was up 35-0 on Colts Neck in the fourth quarter. Demir Willis, the fine running back for the Green Wave, 307 yards and three touchdowns. Middletown South out early on Freehold Township, 16-0, that a first quarter score. And Toms River North early led Marlborough, 14-0. Red Bank and Neptune as well tonight. So a Thursday night schedule. There are games Friday afternoon and Friday night. There are games Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. And as you said, it all wraps up Sunday afternoon in Manahawkin with Southern host Howell. So a four-day high school football weekend.
Plenty of opportunities to get out there and see, if not your favorite team, some good teams. And I think the highlight game of the week we will talk about much more in depth will be Brick at Jackson on Saturday night.
Yeah, that should be something truly special, at least on paper. And it was something very special last November when the teams meet. Now, this would normally, Ed, be a feast weekend for you, a cornucopia of football. You'd be at a game tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. But you will not be with us this weekend. And we want to take a little time on behalf of everyone at the Shore Sports Network, because tomorrow morning early with your family, you'll be heading down to West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, because you are being inducted into the University of Charleston, what was then Morris Harvey when you went there, Hall of Fame for your baseball exploits. That's something terrific.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. an honor that truly humbles me, you know, as did this summer's Hall of Fame election for by the Shore Coaches Association. But, yeah, it should be a fun weekend. My family and I are looking forward. Not looking forward to the nine-hour drive down, you know, but looking forward to the weekend. Should be fun.
The Town Square jet was not available. We tried to get it to Robert J. Miller Airport to take it down to Charleston. It was not available, being used by one of the corporate executives. Sorry, I couldn't swing that.
Nah, thanks anyway. I know I would have had the jet if it was available.
Well, it should be a very nice weekend. You know, just real quick on last weekend, because we really don't want to spend too much time on it again because of the nature of this weekend. Two games to me last weekend that really stood out. Manalapan's rout of Sayreville, 64-28, which was indeed very impressive. A game you were at.
Yes.
And then a game you were also at because we broadcast it Friday night. Toms River North's come from behind 44-34 win over Toms River South. Both the Mariners and the Braves are playing as we speak, but just a couple of seconds on each of them because they were outstanding efforts for the winning teams.
Well, the Manalapan-Sayreville game, billed as the top game, one of the top games in the States, lived up to it, although Manalapan, with a tremendous second half of play, ran away and put 64 points up on a very good Sayreville team. And these two very easily could meet in the Central Jersey Group 5 championship. And, Imamu Mayfield, 5 touchdowns, 200 yards, had a tremendous game. And on the other side, Miles Hartsfield. From a Penn State recruit, 4 touchdowns, single-handedly try to keep his team in the game, but unable to do it. They needed a little bit more. But Manalapan reloads every year, you know, their story. They've been to the finals quite a few years.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, 3 years in a row and have lost, have never won a state title. Could this be the year? Well, they're on their way.
And Friday night, it was the 43rd edition of the Civil War, and for those who have attended a lot of them, among the most exciting ever.
I think it was. It was the most exciting Civil War I have seen. And as I said in my blog, I've either seen, coached in, or broadcasted just about every one of them. And I'm telling you, both teams laid it all on the line. North pulling out the victory, 44-34. Some tremendous individual efforts from Asante Moore from Toms River North and Tymier Berry from Toms River South. Just a tremendous football game. And then throw in the fact that it was at Toms River South, the tradition-laid Toms River South Indians. The fans were crazy. North had as many fans there as South did. Just a tremendous football game. I think Toms River should be proud of an effort like that by their, you know, fellow schools.
And it was a good one. And, of course, now we move on. As we said, North, a lot of teams playing on the short week, kind of getting accustomed to teams do this every year. We sort of go through this. But teams playing on a short week. And, of course, what you hope to do is on that short week, Ed, is get that win tonight. And then you have a long week for your next game. So it kind of balances out.
Looks like Manalapan had a little sluggish start.
Yep.
Fell behind 14-0. You know, coming back from Saturday night to Thursday, you know, that's a tough turnaround. But looks like they've got the cobwebs out and have taken the 21-14 lead.
All right, we're going to take our first break of the night. When we come back, we're going to be talking with unquestionably the number one team in the Shore. They've been there for the last few years and, of course, in pursuit of that elusive state championship. We're talking RBC Casey's right after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back to the Water Street Grill in Toms River. Big sports night. You know, you have all the high school games going on. We're talking about, you got baseball playoffs, you got Thursday night football, you got a lot happening. But, of course, our focus, as always, is on Shore Conference High School football. And we're delighted to be joined by the coach of the top-ranked team with the Shore, the Cases of Red Bank Catholic. He, of course, is Jim Portell, and he brings with him tonight his outstanding senior wide receiver, Trevor Cowley. Guys, first of all, good to see you both. Thanks so much for coming down.
No problem. It's good to see you.
Yeah,
Yeah, thanks for having us. We
Coach,
always enjoy it.
We always enjoy talking with you. We got a chance to see you early in the year. You're four games in. You played in that week zero game. So you're a week ahead of a lot of teams. And, of course, you're on the bye this week. So if you could assess your first four games, tell us a little bit about how things are gone for the Cajuns.
We're happy with where we're at. You know, we're about where we thought we'd be. We feel like we're going to keep getting better. We had some new guys starting this year. And, you know, as they get more comfortable and more varsity reps, we think we'll keep getting better.
You like, now that you've done it, the week zero, are you glad you played and got that game off early?
Yeah, you know, we like the week zero. We're playing straight through this year, the nine games, because we don't have a Thanksgiving game. So the bye is nice to have in the middle somewhere. In addition to that, with the short week this week, we would have been playing tonight. And we're practice guys. We like to have a full week of practice.
Trevor, the offense seems to have picked up right where it left off last year. You know, you're averaging 44 points a game. Tell us a little bit about the offense. Eddie Hahn at QB, yourself at wide receiver, a couple of good running backs.
Yeah, well, we're loaded up this year. We have a lot of guys working hard since summer. We got Eddie at quarterbacks playing great. We got Mike Cordova, Tommy Spurnell in the backfield, Dylan Murphy, Cello. All these guys have been playing great. Our offensive line, who doesn't really ever get a lot of shout-outs, is the reason why we're playing well. So you got to give it up to them. They're the reason why we've been playing great.
And you're coming off a two-touchdown game, right?
Yes,
last
sir.
Week? Got four on the season already?
Yeah, four.
Four touchdown receptions?
Yep.
Not bad. Putting up some good numbers.
Thank you.
Making the most of those catches.
Yep.
You'd probably like to throw a little more, but, of course, in your case, your team very often is out to big leads, and, you know, coach's got to pull the reins back a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Trevor's catching balls like crazy. I think he's got 11 already.
That's for four touchdowns.
That's a season's worth of catches right there.
Coach, you know, a couple games you have started off a little bit slow. You know, other teams scored maybe.
Sure.
Why? Yeah.
Well, I think Long Branch, number one, is a very good football team. You know, we said to the kids after that game, Trevor can verify it, that when you look at this win down the road, it's going to be a good win because Long Branch is going to win a lot of football games. And same thing with Neptune. Neptune was a proud football program. They were coming off a tough loss in Middletown and South the week before, and we expected to get their best, and I think that's what we got. You know, we have a very difficult schedule against big, tough, physical football teams, and every once in a while you're going to get in some fights. But that's good for us.
It's
and
good for you down the line.
That's going to make us better down the line, absolutely.
Yeah, and I look at your schedule, and I know you well enough to know you're a one game at a guy. I'm never going to get you to speculate. It's just not your style.
Yeah, you better believe it.
We do that. That's us in the media. But it does seem like towards the end, you really have some games that could be challenging right before playoff time. I mean, three of your last four. Red Bank, who's played much better this year and, of course, is a rival for you. Manalapan, who we know about and is a very powerful team. At Ocean, never an easy game. And then at Jackson, a team that's off to an undefeated start. I mean, that really should have you ready to go for state tournament time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Our schedule's very, very difficult down at the tail end. But, you know, right now the only team we're worried about, as you said, is Colts Neck. As far as we're concerned, they're the best team in the state right now. We got to get ready to play them. And I'll tell you what, they have some capable kids there, and they're working hard, and they're only going to keep getting better. But the rest of the schedule, you hit the nail on the head with that as well. It's going to be very challenging down the road. It's going to be a lot of fun, too. We're looking forward to it.
Coach, you know, we talk about the players all the time, and they're the ones that are, you know, get their names in the paper, especially the skill kids. I want to talk a little bit about your coaches, your coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the, you know, guys that have been with you, you know, during your tenure, Matty Ahern, who runs your offense. Tell us a little bit about your assistant coach.
Well, Matty does a great job. You know, Matty and I actually came on the staff together back in 2002. He was coaching freshmen, and that was first year up with varsity, you know, when I had joined the Red Bank Catholic staff as an assistant. So he's been around a while. He's an outstanding offensive line coach, does a great job preparing them. He's obviously an outstanding offensive coordinator. I think the last 3 years we've broken records. You know, there's other guys scoring records for the school. The whole staff's great. We've been together for probably since I started. You know, maybe we've had one or two new guys, and that's it. So we're fortunate. The continuity's great. It's very important to the kids. But, you know, as you said in the beginning, I have to say we have a great group of kids that works really, really hard. They do everything you ask of them. They're in the weight room getting bigger and stronger and faster in the off season. Great efforts of practice. It's a great place to be, Red Bank Catholic. Great coaches, great players.
Trevor, kind of coach is Coach Portello? Is he calm on the sidelines? What do you think?
Believe it or not, on the sidelines, he's much more calm than at practice because he knows we have to get prepared for that night. And he makes sure we're prepared every week.
He's a practice guy. He likes practice more than games, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of coaches do, yeah. So, I forget he's here, okay? Because he's not going to give us any quotes. You've got this little winning streak going against other teams in the Shore, 37 in a row. Is it something you're aware of, and do you guys talk about that at all? And again, he's not listening.
We're aware of it. We don't really care about it. We take it week by week, but we really care about our streak on our home turf is what we care about. We don't want anyone beating us on RBC turf.
And you've
ever
got
since we got the turf.
And you've got a nice schedule this year, all these home games. You were on the road week one against Wall, and now you're home all the way until October 31st against Ocean, your last two games. So you're not traveling at all.
Yep, and I'm actually excited for that because I'm from Ocean, so I get to play all of my friends from Ocean at their field. So it's going to be a great time.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Coach, you know, last year we talked a little bit about your schedule, you know, and how maybe you should get out and play some of those, powers up north. Well, you did schedule, or the state did, I'm not sure, St. Joe Metuchen.
Shore Conference actually scheduled that.
Exactly, yeah. Shore Conference. So it looks like the Shore Conference, though, this year took care of that tougher schedule with Jackson and Manalapan at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the Shore Conference, I think they do a great job providing everybody with a very competitive schedule.
Right.
You know, in years past, we've played big schools like Southern and Toms River East.
Right.
And, you know, the last 2 years, they gave us Middletown South as our crossovers. And, you know, Freehold Borough, who was coming off two state championships in 3 years. And so they do the best they can to provide everyone with a very competitive schedule, whether you're a big school or a small school. I mean, there's so many great crossover games with the GMC that you see, you know, like Sayreville, Manalapan last
right.
week. There's great games within the Shore Conference. There's so many great football teams in the area. And the Shore Conference guys, whoever they are, I don't know if a computer does it or if there's somebody sitting in the back room that provides the schedules, but they do a good job with it.
Trevor, how do you like the new conference, A-Central, this year? You're playing some different schools than in the past.
I like this conference. Just playing different schools, it's fun to not play the same team every year,
mm-hmm.
switch it up, and as I said, it's going to be fun to play my hometown.
Now, have you been at RBC your entire high school career?
Yes, I've been to RBC
okay.
my whole career.
So, you know, I'm not going to go to the streak, but I'm going to the fact that you play every week with sort of like that target on your back.
Uh-huh.
You know, to anyone else, beating you makes their season. Is that something that actually sort of puts things in perspective for you, and that does not allow you to have an off week? Because, you know, most of your games the last couple of years have been fairly comfortable margins of victory when you play local teams.
Uh-huh. Well, Coach doesn't allow us to have a very off week over at practice. But, I mean, when we were down 7-0 against Long Branch, like, you flip the switch. You realize, oh, this can't end. Like, this streak cannot end. So everyone just flips the switch, and we just turn up and have a great time.
Do you like playing knowing that you're always the hunted? That it's, you know,
yes.
Everyone's going after you.
Yes, it feels good to be that guy instead of the other one.
Okay.
You want to be the hunted. You don't want to be hunting.
I think it's something you get used to, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like since 2011, it was a little new to us in 2011
right.
when we, you know, the newspapers came out and they ranked us number one to start the season. And, you know, I think we felt a little bit of that pressure. We went down to Southern, maybe didn't play as we won that game, but we didn't play as well as we thought we could have coming out of the gate. And I think that's something that we've grown to become accustomed to.
Coach, really singling out anybody, give us a couple guys that have surprised you so far in the first four games that have really stepped up and said,
sure.
Boy, he's having a really good year.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I think Tommy Spernel, number one, is one of those guys. I mean,
yep.
we've known how capable he is. He's had a great career for us on the lower levels, and he got some part-time work last year. But now with Larry graduating and Tommy and Mike Cordova sharing the snaps, I think Tommy's really having a breakout year for us. Eddie Hahn, I think, is playing as well as we could have hoped he'd play. You know, he's really dynamic, and he adds a dimension to our offense that we haven't had. We got a couple of juniors on the offensive line, Liam Smith and Ryan Oniadis, who have really stepped up their game and playing very well. And they're two big kids. We're excited they're both back next year. And, You know, I could go on and on. Dylan Murphy's a junior that's having a great year for us. Danny Weiland and Doug Zokel, two defensive ends with four sacks each, having a great year. Trevor Cowley isn't doing too bad with 11 catches. Nick Lubashier returning punts. And, you know, I feel bad if I'm leaving anybody out because I know there's other guys as well.
How about your son? Come on. You got to throw him in there.
Yeah, my son's doing well. He always does well. Unfortunately, he fractured his hip against Long Branch. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he's
been out for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But he's fighting through it. We hope to get him back in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Great. Trevor, tell us a little bit about the off season. When do you get started? You know, the season ends like the first week in December. You go until January and then you start over again?
We have off from right when the season ends until winter break. And then right after that, we're in the weight room 3 days a week. And believe it or not, our first camp day, it was our first camp day. It was the day we left the last day of school last year.
Right.
It was our first camp day.
Mini camp.
Yeah. Mini camp.
Well, you know, so many schools are doing that now.
Yeah.
You know, as
uh-huh.
soon as that last state game is played, baseball, right, that's when anybody could start. And that's usually the middle of June or maybe even the first week in June. You know, it gets earlier and earlier.
See, thanks, Ed. I'm telling these guys that I'm a cupcake. We start later than everybody else.
Everybody does it, Trevor.
We're in exams when the last game gets over, so we don't start till a little later.
Do you play any other sports besides football?
Not anymore, no.
Oh, okay. How about you're a senior, so what is your goals after this?
My goals is to play at a level such as the Patriot League level or the NEC level for college football.
I'm going to know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Good student?
Yes, I'm a good student.
How good?
He's very good. I think he's got about a 3.6 GPA.
Okay.
He did really well on his tests. And schools like Lehigh and Bucknell are showing a great deal of interest in Trevor.
Boy, those are great places. I mean, you just can't go wrong with that. Patriot League is tremendous.
Yeah, we love to send kids there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, can't let you go without telling us a little bit about your big gun last year, Quentin Nelson, at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit how he's doing. And
Quentin's doing very well. You know, he hasn't played yet, but he's actually higher on the depth chart than some of the boys that have gotten in games. I think being that he's a freshman, what they're trying to do is trying to save his reps unless they absolutely need him. So there's a chance he may be redshirted. But right now we get to see him on TV every week standing there. And he's a very good football player. He had a great camp from what I read, you know, speaking to his parents and from the text that he sent me. He did very well. He was actually a second stringer, and he's going to have a great future over there.
Well, not many players from the Shore could say they played for the Fighting Irish.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I mean, and undefeated right now, and it looks like they could continue that and go to a big-time bowl.
Well, that's true. That's true. We're very proud of Quentin. We're very proud of all the boys that left us and went on. Jack Tabbs, a senior now at North Carolina. He's had a few touchdown catches already this year. Andrew Kasten, great running back for us a few years ago, had a breakout game opening night against Holy Cross, ran for 153 yards in Harvard's opener. And, you know, there's many kids I could mention that are doing very well in college. We're proud of all of them.
And, of course, you've got another senior who's a Division I kid in Jamie Gordonier, who we had on our first week of the show, heading to the University of Miami. So I know it's always good. You like to see those kids go on, regardless whether it's Division III or Division I.
Absolutely.
You love to follow those. Coach, you know, you've had this success, especially the last couple of years. You're coming off back-to-back 10-win seasons, which is a school record. And obviously you take a player like Trevor, who, you know, lives in Ocean Township. He could play at Ocean Township High School. Winning breeds winning. Kids want to be part of a winning program. Do you feel like you guys should have a strong team every year, that there are kids coming in who want to be part of this RBC program?
Yeah. We have a whole bunch of good kids in the program. Our freshmen are doing very well this year. They're off to a 4-0 start. Our JV team's off to a 4-0 start. So we're excited about the future as well. You know, in terms of what that means, in terms of wins and losses, you know, you're going to have cycles in high school football. That's the way it goes.
Yep.
But we do feel like we can be competitive year in, year out, mostly because I think now that we have this winning going, the kids expect so much of each other. They demand it from each other. They learn from the older kids. They know what's expected of them in terms of weight room and work ethic, and that helps a bunch.
Trevor, there's one thing that has eluded you guys in this great run you've had, and that, of course, is that non-public championship. We know you're in a loaded bracket every year. That is the ultimate goal, though, I've got to assume, especially for you as a senior.
Absolutely, it's the ultimate goal. It's what we've been trying to accomplish all year long starting this year, and we can't wait to get after it in the playoffs this year.
I mean, the goal obviously is if you run the table, get a good seed. You'd love to have a home game, maybe even two. And then, I mean, can you envision yourself that first week in December playing somewhere up north, Giants Stadium, Rutgers, whatever, for a state title?
I can, and I believe that our conference is preparing us for it.
I mean, can you see? Do you picture Eddie Hahn throwing that fade pattern to you in the fourth quarter with 30 seconds left?
Not yet. That running game is going to have to be stopped before that happens. But anyway, Coach, some interesting possible matchups in that state tournament. You know, with St. John Vianney having an excellent year, they also are in non-public three. Your division, do you see a possible matchup?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of possible great matchups. And I think St. John Vianney is one of the great teams in our bracket. You
right.
know, Pope John, Del Bart, St. Joe's, Montvale, and Bishop Eustace and Camden Catholic. I think there's six or seven undefeated teams right now in that bracket. So it's a lot of fun playing in that bracket. We look forward to it every single year. Our kids look forward to it, and we're going to keep trying, you know.
Are you okay with the fact that knowing that you're never, ever going to have an easy run in that state tournament? Do you like the fact that every game is a challenge? I mean, I know you're measuring yourself against that, but it's so difficult. I mean, you could have an 11-1 year and be by far the best team in the Shore, but not have that state title. That one loss comes at the end.
That is what it is. Yeah. We're going to keep working to try and get that good. That's what we want to do. We're not shying away from the competition. We embrace it. We want to play the best football teams we can play, and that's what this bracket does for us. We play teams that are in the same, you know, situation as us. Parochial schools, group three, same size. So we go play them. We're not going to complain about that. We're looking forward to it.
Well, you certainly have the respect of the Shore and the media because you've been number one, 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
Three years in a row, you've been ranked number one at the end of the season.
Right.
And having won a state tournament, that's respect to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way it goes. Certainly the Shore Conference football teams down here have our respect. You know, great teams like Manalapan and Brick. I know Coach Dahl's coming on here. There's a lot of great football teams down here, and that doesn't get lost on us. And, you know, when people want to say anything about our schedule, I feel like it's not fair to the rest of the Shore Conference because there's outstanding football down here. I've coached all over the state, and this football down here is as good as anywhere else.
Hey, listen, there's 43 teams in the Shore Conference. If you're number one out of 43, you're doing something right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's good. We're gonna enjoy it for as long as it lasts.
Well, you know how much we appreciate you taking the trip down south to join us tonight on your bye week. We try and work that in every year for you guys.
We appreciate it.
Look forward to chatting with you along the way. I know we'll have opportunities to talk to you later in the season. Enjoy the bye week. Get healthy. Hope your son gets back, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks very much.
Trevor, thanks so much.
Good luck to you.
Guys, stay here for 1 second. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going from the Caseys to the Green Dragons. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back here at the Water Street Grill, the Investors Bank High School Football Show. Kevin and Ed, Matt has the evening off, and good chatting with the guys from RBC. Before we move along to Brick, a couple of scoring updates. Toms River North leads Marlboro that game 21-6. As we said, a lot of games on this Thursday night adjusted schedule. Neptune up on Red Bank 16-7. That one is, I believe, in the second quarter. Manalapan is now up on Middletown North 28-20. They were down 14-0. Manalapan was scored 28 answered before Middletown North got on the ball. Middletown, that's it so far. We'll pass them along as we go to you. But clearly we said the sexiest game of this weekend is Saturday night in what they call the jungle at Jackson Memorial, Munley Field. It'll be the Jaguars hosting the Brick Green Dragons. Red Bank Catholic ranked number one in our Shore Sports Network top 10. Brick is in the number two spot and good enough to join us. And you can see on the stream if you're watching the live video, very obvious in the green. The head coach of the Green Dragons in his fourth season, Rob Dahl, and his terrific senior football player, Ray Fattoruso. Guys, a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming. coming down tonight.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody said when Ray came in, they thought he was the coach, right?
Easily the best dressed
no question.
In the place.
Yeah, no, the bar has been set so high that we'll never have anything to match it. Coach, we're going to start with you as we always do, and that is, coming off the state sectional championship last year, you carried that momentum right back into this season. Impressive. Division wins, which are great, over Brick Memorial Southern and Toms River East. And it just so happens, you know, the way your schedule works out, here comes Jackson in week four. You played them last year in week eight at your place, a very memorable game. They won it 9-7 to win the division title. Now you go back to them in the fourth game of the season, and it's a chance to avenge that and set yourself up as the team to beat in the division.
Yeah, without a doubt. Here we are again. We've been waiting a year for this game. We look at Jackson on film. We think they're a great team. We think we're a great team. I think this might be the best Jackson team I've seen, in 13 years. They're just that good. They're well balanced. But we have some pretty good in our locker room too, and we're looking forward to the match on Saturday night, and we are very, very excited.
Ray, let's go back and last question on the subject. Okay, that 9-7 loss. Carmen was out. Sclafani, your starting quarterback. Phillips got hurt during the contest. You had to go to the Wildcat and run the ball just about every time. Something you worked on in practice? Was it new that second half? Tell us a little bit about that.
We put the Wildcat in, just to have down by the goal line. But, we weren't expecting Phillips to go down. And, when he came down, I knew that I had to step up and do what I had to do to, get the team to a W. And, we only had maybe four plays in. And, we just straight ground and pound it, and our offensive line just did a fabulous job on the field. And, things didn't go our way that game, obviously. And, if they did, we're looking to get it back this year.
And, as disappointing as that loss was, and obviously it was disappointing there was a division title on the line, I don't know that that wasn't the game that propelled your great run in the playoffs, because that was an old-fashioned football game. I loved it. And I know people love 39-37. I'm okay with that, too. But I thought that was a throwback game. The hitting in that game, it was a great football game. I know it wasn't as good as you'd like it to be, but it was a great game.
Yeah, it was smash-mouth football. Jackson's all about that. We're all about that. And, we came out in the short end. But, it's a game, that's going to go down in history, for a long, long time. But our boys learned a lot from that game also. And I think that catapulted us into the playoffs. We weren't going to come up short again. They had that mindset. We are never going to come up short again, and that's what they did.
And he was special that night.
What a
game he played.
Defensively Ray, and offensively.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ray is special just about any time he puts the helmet on.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass him.
I just did.
You know that I said he's one of
your favorite players.
Absolutely, because I just think he's a football player.
Yeah,
he's running back, lineman, he's a football player. You can play him anywhere. You can tell by the uniform at the end of the game, which is real dirty, right?
Right, without a doubt.
Ray. I was just going to say, Ray, your relationship with Carmen Sclafani has been well documented. You guys are very close. Tell us a little bit about that relationship. Did you know each other before he transferred in, or did you respect him before? And then when he got there, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I love the look on your face.
That's hard. Carmen playing at Toms River North, I'm not a fan of North at all. And, Carmen's a great football player. And, when we versed Toms River North my sophomore year and they were 8-0, we didn't have too good of a season. I kind of wanted to just kill Carmen, get him out of the game. And, hearing that, he's transferring over, that just, that put a spot in my heart for Carmen, obviously. And, he's a great kid. He works really hard. He plays great on the field. He's a great teammate. He's great in school. Has an awesome family. And, Carmen's a really just – he's an all-around great kid, and I wouldn't be more happy to have him on our team.
Coach, I think they, sort of play off of each other, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Carmen, like Ray said, he's well-rounded in a lot of aspects of his life and does a great job for us on the field. I think they play off each other, and I think a lot of our guys play off each other as far as how much intensity and heart they bring to the field. I think they all play off each other, but Carmen and Ray, when you watch a player like these two guys, are old-fashioned football players. They don't mind getting hit. They don't mind lowering the shoulder. And they give it all. They give it 110% every game.
But, Coach, there are other players this year for this Green Dragon football team, other players that possibly could get you into that final game again this year. Tell us about some of those other players that have stepped up.
Yeah, you know, we've had over 7 or 8 different players score touchdowns. Jasir Taylor, we brought him up last year as a freshman. He's a sophomore now. He's had a couple monster games. Jaquez Johnson is a lot like Ray. He plays both ways for us. We expect a lot out of him. He's got a couple touchdowns this year. Joe Phillips has a touchdown. Simon Bengelis, our tight end, has a touchdown. Jay Obenauer, who shares time in the backfield, he has a touchdown. You know, and I'm probably even leaving a guy out because there's so many guys that we can just go to.
Yeah, I think clearly this team offensively has more weapons than a year ago. You have more guys who can certainly make plays. Is that fair? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair to say. I mean, last year, Coach LaBarca coming in, and we got the offense going. It's a new system, new terminology. So the deal was, let's run the ball. Let's establish the run. Let's control the clock. And I thought we did a good job doing that. We didn't have a ton of time. We weren't in any 7-on-7s. We didn't have any time to really install a great passing game and get any type of continuity going with our receivers. This year, you know, we're at the Monmouth 7-on-7, Rutgers 7-on-7, Ocean County 7-on-7. You know, by the time we got to the middle of July, the boys knew the routes. They knew where to be. They knew how to read coverages, and they knew how to beat those coverages. And they haven't turned back yet.
You know, Ray, last year's state title was clearly unexpected for us. Guys in the media. I don't know if it was something that you thought about a lot, but it was one that was really welcomed in open arms with the Brick team. It had been a little while, and you know, I'm wondering if you felt that you know all about the pride and tradition of Brick Green Dragon football, but to witness it and witness what it was like to win a state championship, what did it mean to you as a player and a student at that school?
I mean, coming into the school as a freshman, Coach Dahl showed nothing but, you know, how this school ran and the tradition that was in it. And, you know, making it to playoffs, we knew that we had to, you know, go game by game and just do what we had to do to win and move on. And making it to the state championship, I mean, there was absolutely no feeling. You know, you'll never feel that feeling until you actually get there and know what it's like. And to see all the alumni there with their old helmets and stickers and you know, the crazy amount of people and everybody just going nuts, I mean, we didn't want to lose. There was no doubt in our mind that we were going to lose that game. And honestly, it's just a great feeling. That feeling will be with me for the rest of my life.
Was it even better than you had imagined it would be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we first got there, you know, we took old school brick buses, yellow buses with, you know, really hard seats. And, you know, Colts Neck shows up with the charter buses and, you know, they had the bags under the bottom. And, you know, that kind of just pissed us off a little bit more and wanted us to get on the field. So, I mean, that was definitely a fire right there.
Coach,
he's got nothing but fire.
He's a fiery kid.
Coach, you know, the reorganization of the state brackets made it a little bit more interesting for you this year, you know? Middletown South, Jackson in your group this year, Middletown North, and, of course, yourselves. Tough bracket this year, Central Jersey Group 4.
Yeah, I thought it was tough last year. You know, so a couple athletic teams from the West with Burlington being there. I mean, they'll be there again. They'll be there again. And when you look at the bracket this year, it got tougher. You know, Jackson moves up into it. You know, Middletown North was in it last year. They got their feet wet first round, almost knocked off Nottingham, and now they're back. And they're a lot better, Middletown North. So, yeah, it's a well-rounded bracket, and it's going to be very interesting, you know, when we make it. If we get that far.
All right, well, let's focus a little bit on Jackson Saturday night. And I know you're not going to give them any bulletin board material, right, Ray? We're not going to give them anything. We're not going to give them any of those quotes. But on paper, it's a very interesting matchup. I almost feel a little bit about them like they do about you. Now, they lost some very good seniors, Ken Bradley. I mean, they lost some big-time players. But I almost wonder, they may have more total weapons this year. Last year, it was a lot of Glover left and right. This year, they have 2 or 3 kids offensively who seem to be, if they get in space, they can go to distance.
Yeah, I mean, last year you had to worry about Glover, and I think they were more one-dimensional. They were eye formation.
Yep.
And they wanted to pound it down your throat. And this year they have multiple weapons. Their quarterback's more composed. He can beat you through the air. You know, they can go spread. They can go eye. And they look comfortable in both. So a lot more to prepare for, a lot more to stop. And in my opinion, they might have lost the 4 or 5 seniors that paid dividends last year, but I think they're a much better team this year.
Always seem to have a big offensive line that's pretty strong.
Yeah, their offensive line across the front, I think they're 250 or 260 across
yeah,
the front.
Yeah, 260.
And then their tight end is a borderline scholarship.
Yeah.
I know a lot of schools were interested in him when he came in. He's 6'4", 255, I think, on it. So, yeah, they're big again, and they have the athleticism behind the line to go along with it.
Ray, have you scouted Jackson and watched film of them, what do you feel you guys need to do? What's the most important facet for Brick on Saturday night?
I mean, Jackson's a great football team, and, you know, it's always a great game, you know, playing Jackson. But I think our key to win this game is just, you know, to do exactly what we're supposed to do. I mean, our game plan shows it. And, you know, if we can do our alignments on defense and do our keys and execute on offense with our plays, I think we'll be in a good stand at the end of the game.
Coach, you know, everybody knows Chip LaBarca Jr. runs your offense. But tell us about some of the other assistant coaches that do a fantastic job for you.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Stockoff has done a great job, developing Carmen. And Timmy Bray does tight ends. John Power just does an awesome job with the offensive line. You know, it's his second, third year coaching. And just what he does as a third year coach is incredible. And we have Coach Spadavecchia does the running backs, does a great job. You know, you won't see any fumbles on the ground. He's a good fundamental guy. You know, and I got to talk about my defensive staff because the defense is really not being talked about a lot this year. I think they're doing great things. You know, Coach McNamara is a great guy. He puts in so much time, more time than any coach I think I've ever seen in my life. Does a great job. Coach Blackbird does a great job with the D-line. And
it's too bad you don't have a kicking coach, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and Coach Weibold. Yeah, you can't leave him out. Yeah, thanks. He would have killed me. You know, Coach Weibold does a great job, with the kickers and helping us out with the special teams. And he juggles a lot for us. He does a lot for us.
He's the hardest working guy on the sidelines.
Yeah,
whenever I'm on the sidelines working a game,
yeah.
He's up and down the field. He's talking to the kicker.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting the screen ready.
Yeah, he's getting, you know, somebody needs
a clip. He's having a burger. I mean, you know that story, right?
Yeah. Clip, cleat, you know, motivational speech. He's there for everything.
That defense, by the way, has given up 12 points in three games, so that goes without saying. How about you? My guess is you like playing defense better.
It's hard.
Really?
Some games I'll have, you know, where I will just want to play defense, and, you know, some games where I'll just, you know. I mean, that's when college time comes, that's going to be a very, very hard decision to pick.
So let's segue into that. What thought process with schools? I mean, have you talked with any? Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a few schools here and there. You know, I went to Elon in the summer with my dad, and, you know, Assumption's been calling coach. I've had American International call coach. And, you know, just a bunch of other schools. I mean, I don't really think it's necessary to announce it on here because,
no.
You know, we're in season, so let's just focus on this and, you know, do what we have to do in season.
But clearly football is in your future.
Yes, absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned Elon.
Yeah, I know. It's
special place in my heart.
There,
my
yeah.
son went to Elon, and
yeah.
Believe me, you will not regret if that is your final decision.
What are they, the Fighting Phoenix now?
The Phoenix. You know, they were the Fighting Christians.
That's
now,
what it was.
Now
okay.
They're the Phoenix. But and, of course, an old friend of your program, Donovan Brown,
yeah.
is
yeah.
in the Hall of Fame at Elon. And Mr. Drumwright from Lakewood also.
Gene Drumwright.
An Elon grad. But a tremendous school,
yeah,
Elon.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you know, you go down there and look at that, and right away you're signing a contract.
65%.
So good luck
65%
to you,
65% females, too,
yeah,
whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you don't know that. Do
I do know that. My son, we visited. That was one of the schools.
Oh,
we
okay.
At.
Okay.
We looked at Elon, yeah. Yeah. So things are going well. Healthy? You pretty healthy so far through the first part of the season?
Yeah, we're pretty. We've been fortunate. We're pretty healthy, and you know, and we battle in practice. We go after each other. So we're very fortunate that when we get through all the battles of practice, that you know, guys are still able to you know get themselves off the field in one piece.
Do we continue that, coach, or do we lay off a little bit as the season gets into the second half?
No, we battle. We got to be great. We have to be great. Like I told the kids now. It's going to be the team that's practicing the hardest and carrying out their assignments throughout practice now, the team that battles each other. We respect our scout team. I mean, they're the reason why we win. Our scout team goes at it. If they loaf it, we yell at our scout team, and our scout team will be the reason If we win a state championship, they're a big part of it because we go after each other in practice.
You know, Rob, I asked Ray, but I really didn't ask you. But, you know, the tradition of Brick High School, and it had been a little while since there had been the kind of success that you had last year. Personally, what did it mean to you, knowing how important Brick is and, it's, you know, it's your community? What did it mean to win that state title?
I'll piggyback off what Ray said. I mean, to look up there and see all those guys and the green and 4,000 people fill up TCMJ, that was awesome. And at halftime, we were down. We really were. And I said, guys, we will not let them down. And I stopped them at the fence. I said, look at our stands. Can you believe that? And they all looked up in awe. And I said, we will not let them down this half. We will not lose. And, it was great. And, you know, the whole storyline of Coach Wolf coming there and, you know, talking to Coach Wolf after the game. And, you know, I know we're making him proud to every alumni guy that has been part of that organization. And that means the world to me. And you know what? It means the world to the kids. It really does. They bought into it. And now alumni guys come up to them. You can see the kids. They glow. It's great.
Yeah, because there had been a little bit of a tumultuous period there where, you know, there were some scars on the Green Dragon program. But for them it to bounce back like it did last year, and it was unlikely. Right. I mean, I don't think anyone in September could have predicted that. And sometimes maybe that's the best kind. Now it's a different situation. Now you're, you know, almost what we did with Red Bank Catholic. You are no longer the hunter. You're right. The hunted, right?
Yeah. I mean, the whole goal was let's put Brick Township football back on the map, and I think the boys and the coaches have done a great job doing that.
I mean, do you get a sense of that, Ray, from difference from last year is now when you show up, it's the targets on your back, not on the other guy, maybe as much as it would have been last year?
Yeah, absolutely. We just got to work that much harder now that knowing that teams, you know, are going to be waiting for us this year instead of, you know, looking past us. And that's good in a way, and that's also bad in a way, because if we have a crappy practice, you know, the game is definitely going to show it. So we have to have 100% at every practice, you know, no matter if it's a walkthrough or anything. You know, we have to be ready to practice and ready to go.
You know, one of the things that's changed, it used to be the only way you found out about the other guys was either the newspaper or the radio. Now we have social media. Are you a big guy like Twitter? I mean, do you go at it with other guys, some of your opponents?
Yeah, I mean, that's just Brick football. You know, we're smash mouth talk. You know, we'll talk the talk, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you got to do the talking on the field, absolutely.
You got to walk the walk, right,
absolutely.
As long as you can do that.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you brought that up about the Trenton, you know, college in New Jersey last year, because a few times during our broadcast, we did look up me from the field and remark about how many old leather jackets.
The leather was old.
The leather, you know, we saw somebody from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. You know, it was quite a sight, and you're right. You had every bit of 4,000 people in those stands, the most of any team, and we did a few games up there at College of New Jersey, and we've worked at Rutgers before. That was one of the greatest showings, and I think the town was so hungry for a W and a championship, and you guys came
even
through.
Principal Philippone looked good in his jacket, right?
Yeah.
It actually still fit him a little bit.
I don't know, that's hard for him to do, too.
He wanted to take credit that he had the oldest jacket, but I don't think that happened. I think we found somebody that had an older one.
Yeah, probably.
Guys, we appreciate it. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Thanks so much on basically eve of a big game for you to give us a little time tonight. We'll be out there. I'm going to be out there watching the game on Saturday night, and I wish you nothing but the best. Ray, all the best to you the rest of your senior year.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Rob, thanks so much for coming down.
Thanks for having us.
All right, guys, stick for a second. When we come back on the other side of the 8 o'clock, we'll chat with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan and much more. You are listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we're back. Hopefully, there we go. We'll chat with Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan in just a second. I had a couple of scoring updates. Rumson has gone ahead of St. John Vianney for the first time late in the second quarter, 20-14. Michael O'Connor with a touchdown run, the young quarterback, to put the Rumson up there. Final score, it was Long Branch beating Colts Neck 35-0. Middletown South leads Freehold Township 37-0. They are with the running clock there in the second half. Neptune up on Red Bank 16-7. Toms River North a 34-12 lead over Marlboro, and it's Manalapan 35, Middletown North 20. That game still going on. A couple of other finals. It was Manasquan beating Ocean 14-7, Friel topping Raritan 17-6. As we do in this spot each week, we chat a little bit with the coach of the Monmouth University Hawks and Kevin Callahan. And Monmouth really coming off a significant win last Saturday. A game I listened to on the radio with Matt Harmon and Eddie Iacopinti with the exciting calls down the stretch as the Hawks came back and won at Lehigh 28-21, the first time they had beaten Lehigh in six tries. So, Coach, that's the good news. I know you feel really good about that, and it's a great win for your team. But obviously it's got to be tempered a little bit by the loss of your outstanding running back, KB Asante, a senior with a broken leg who's done for the season and done for his Hawks career.
Well, it certainly is, Kevin. And, you know, first, you know, let me just talk about the Lehigh game. You know, as important as the win was, it was the way in which we won. I thought our guys really hung tough, and they played to the very end, and that's something that we've been preaching to them all the time and playing a 60-minute game. And the fact that it went down to the last 11 seconds when we pulled out the victory, I think, is a testament to the fortitude and the way our guys persevered and overcame adversity. I think at the end of the game, what you saw was our defense come up with a big stop, our special teams block a kick, and then our offense take over and go 74 yards for a touchdown. And there were a number of great plays in that drive. Neil Sterling from Manasquan makes a great catch on a 3rd and 8. And then the final play was a touchdown pass from Brandon Hill to Eric Sumlin. And that was great. And I know our kids had a great feeling about them when we left. But it was tempered by the loss of KB. You know, KB is one of our captains and certainly one of our team leaders. He's a 1,000-yard rusher from a year ago, and to not have him out on the practice field this week, to not have him any more this season, is a big blow to this team.
Coach, can LaVon Chaney carry the load? I mean, he's not real big, but he is actually very powerful, and he's got some legs on him, and he has carried the ball 20-plus times in games this year. But now he's the man. I know you moved some kids around this week. Tell us a little bit about Charney's role now. Charney.
Well, I'll tell you what. Not only can he do that, but he will do that. Ed.
there you go.
Charney, although he's short, he's not small. He's very powerful. Nope. You guys have seen him play. You see the way he runs. He's got terrific acceleration. And he's got unbelievable vision, and he makes a lot of people miss. And you know we're and although we miss KB, I'm excited to see KB or LaVon be our number one guy. And we've got Zach Welch behind him, who's had minimal time so far. And as you alluded to, Ed, we moved Ed Royd, who started for the Naval Academy at running back a year ago as one of their running back positions, who we had been playing at safety through the first 4 games. We've moved him over and said, hey, let's see what he can do at running back, so we're happy about that. And then we've got Michael Jolly, a freshman. Again, not a really big guy, kind of a short guy, about a 5'6", 5'7", guy, who we feel very good about. So I think there's enough people there that we will be able to make up for the loss of KB.
Coach, I've held out long enough.
Oh,
I got
He's
to talk.
Been waiting all night.
Now, I've been waiting for a few weeks, and then Matt told me that you were kind of disappointed that I didn't bring him up a week or so ago. But Mike Busseal, you know, I mean, what more can we say about this kid? I mean, I saw you around the county quite a few times last year over the winter, and every time
a lot of basketball together, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And every time I saw you, I said, hey, you got to go after this kid. I think this kid can play, you know. I was his biggest, ally, and Mike Busseal has not let you down. I think he has had one heck of a season in 4 games so far, twice winning Rookie of the Year on defense. Tell us a little bit about Mike Busseal.
Well, you know what? He's a very special person. He's a very special athlete. He's one of those guys. And, you know, I think, Ed, by the time you told me that, he had already committed to us a year ago. But,
right.
But anyway, I'm only kidding on that. But, I mean, he was a guy that he has that maturity about him. He has that sense where he's made the transition from high school football to college football very quickly. He's got a competitive maturity about him. He understands the big picture. He knows what it's all about. And he has tremendous physical tools and physical abilities. And it was very apparent very early on when he came into camp that, you know, this kid was ready to go. And as you know, Ed, we've built our program on Shore Conference players and
yes.
getting Mike to come here from Brick and be a huge contributor so early in his career. It's something that, you know, we thought he could do, we thought he would do, and we're looking forward for more players from the Shore to do that.
One more thing defensively, Coach. Marcus Leslie from Miami, right, Florida, made
right.
his first start. Another true freshman in the secondary. I mean, that's sort of unheard of, right?
Well, it's unheard of. It's a little unnerving if you're the head coach to have a 2 out of 4 true freshmen back there. But these guys are competitors. They've proven
yes.
they can play. They've proven they can make plays. And I think that's what we're seeing not only from Mike but from Marcus as well. And last Saturday, believe it or not, we had 4 true freshmen in the starting lineup. The 2 that we just talked about, but Ryan Wetzel from Colts Neck started our left guard and played the whole game and did a great job. And Alex Thompson was starting at center, another true freshman. So this is uncharted territory for us. We've never had this many new guys, this many true freshmen starting, but they're doing a good job. And we're just going to keep moving forward with these guys.
It's obviously a testament to you and your staff and the recruiting aspect of college football, which is so important each year.
Well, thank you, Ed. It is. And, you know, we thought last year, back in February, if you remember, that we had identified and signed what I thought was a quality class of recruits, and to have 4 of them on the field for us right now, although I didn't envision that back then,
right.
To have all 4 of them out there right now, and doing well, and you know, we're very happy about that. And as you know, when you play young guys, there's going to be bumps in the road, and those bumps are probably still in front of us here, and they're going to come, but we're going to live through those things, we're going to learn from them, and these guys are going to become great players for Monmouth University.
Well, we know one thing that has happened, Kevin, is you've gotten to enjoy the Pennsylvania countryside. You'll make your 3rd state trip to the Pennsylvania State. They head out to Moon Township on Saturday for your 20th tussle with Robert Morris, a team that's struggling a bit. You've guys got to feel pretty good about yourself. I know you're thrilled to get off the road after this one and come see the home folks. Have you had a good week of practice? And despite the loss to KB Asante, did the Lehigh win, did it give everyone a little extra bounce in the step?
Well, it did, Kevin, and as you said, you know, that win was big. As we said earlier on, we had played them 5 previous occasions and hadn't beaten them. And to get that win, you know, we were close the last 2 years in 12 and 13, and this year it was close again, and our guys pulled it out. So we feel pretty good about ourselves. But, you know, it's all about what we do next and how we take the next step. Each week of the season, we've kind of pushed the level of expectation up a notch. We did it again with the win over Lehigh. And we've got to live up to that expectation level as we go out and play Robert Morris. And as far as going through Pennsylvania, I'm an upstate New York guy. I love going out and seeing all that countryside and seeing the cows and all that stuff. It's, you know, all these guys from New Jersey on our team that think we're going halfway across the nation to play. It's 5-6 hours.
We can do that in the afternoon. Are the leaves turning or what?
They're starting to. They're starting.
Starting.
To. I can probably tell you every tree on the way out there.
They're 0-4. Are they a dangerous 0-4 team?
Yeah. Kevin, they are. They're a team that, you know, as you know, over the course of we've played them 19 times. I think the series is in their favor 10-9. It's one of those games that's kind of a rivalry game. They started their program 1 year after we started ours. We've played them pretty much every year since then. It's always a physical, in-your-face game, and I don't see any reason why this week this is going to be any different, and we've got to be ready for it. You know, they've had 2 weeks to prepare for us. They had a bye last Saturday, and they've made some changes in their lineups, and you've got different people playing and played in the first four games. So we've got some adjusting to do, and, you know, I think we had a great week of practice. I think we're prepared. We just got to make sure that we go out and start fast and execute on Saturday.
Coach, 18 for 21 in the red zone, converting into scores. That's a fantastic stat.
We're doing a good job in the red zone, although last week, actually, there was a couple of times we thought we could have come away with some field goals that we didn't. You know, we're getting points on the board. We'd like to see 21 out of 21 touchdowns, to be quite honest with you. But,
sure.
We're doing a good job of getting points on the board when we get down in that part of the field. And as you guys know, that's what good football teams do. They score when they're in scoring position. As long as we continue to do that, as long as we continue to make good plays on defense and get ourselves off the field, which, quite honestly, last week we didn't do as well as I thought we could have or should have, we're going to be in good shape.
3-1 Monmouth is a non-conference game at Robert Morris on Saturday. 1 o'clock kickoff from Joe Walton Stadium. You can hear it right here on 1160 and 1310 AM on SureSportsNetwork.com. Matt Harmon and Eddie Iacopinti calling all the action. Coach, I hope you have one more enjoyable trip to Pennsylvania. Then your return to West Long Branch. Can't wait to get back in the booth and yell first down Hawks.
We look forward to that as well, Kevin. It's always great to play at Kessler Field. And, you know, thank you guys for all your time and supporting Monmouth football.
Thanks, Coach. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right, Monmouth Coach Kevin Callahan. Ed, that's a huge win for them last week.
Yes, it was.
You and I both happened to be listening to the game. You know, I picked it up with about 6 minutes left. I was on and off and listened that last drive. Hale was just tremendous. And Neil Sterling, of course, who we remember from his Manasquan days, made some big catches.
Yeah, one in particular on that last drive. It was, what, about an 80-yard drive,
yeah.
You know, they took over. And, you know, just a great win. Anytime you go on the road and win a college football game, it's a great win. I don't care what the record is. That's why, you know, I was going to ask him, make me a case for 0-4 Robert Morris beating you this week, you know. And coaches are so pessimistic,
absolutely.
You know.
Glass is always half empty.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to take one more break. Hopefully Scott Stump will join us in just a couple of minutes from Rumson.
Could be an exciting game he's going to tell us about.
Should be close to halftime at the very least there. Rumson and St. John Vianney will chat hopefully with Scott for a couple minutes. But we'll take one more break. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
A couple of scoring updates of games going on. It is Middletown South over Friel Township, 44-0. Toms River North has opened up a 48-12 lead on Marlboro. Manalapan, who trailed 14-0 at one point, now out in front of Middletown North, 42-20, and as we said, you said it's now 28-14?
28-14, Rumson.
So that's 28 straight for Rumson. I believe they trailed St. John Vianney 14-0, and hopefully we'll hear from our guy Scott Stump that he's at that game and maybe waiting for halftime to call in and join us. Want a couple of quick things here before that happens. Hopefully that will happen. Number one, want to offer our congratulations to freshman Ken Bradley from Ithaca, who was a huge player for Jackson Memorial last year. And if you remember, Ed, for week one of the season, our first game, we were chatting with his dad, Tom.
And him.
And him. You interviewed him, but we chatted with his dad, who is an assistant coach at Jackson. And he was looking to get, he had just gotten some playing time and was, you know, second on the depth chart. Well, he's moved up to number one, inside linebacker, a true freshman. And last weekend, he had 10 tackles, 9 of them solo, in a 17-6 win over previously undefeated Alford. Bradley was named to the Division III Team of the Week. He was also the Empire 8 Defensive Player of the Week. That is the conference they are in. So that's a huge performance by him, and we're not surprised. We liked him last year, and like you said, hey, physically impressive young man, very smart football player.
Yeah, and so that usually gets you on the field as a freshman. By the way, in that Rumson St. John Vianney game, first half stats, Rumson ran the ball for 300 yards against St. John Vianney in the first half, without the All-State running back, Charlie Volker. Unbelievable.
Our reigning Shore Sports Network Offensive Player of the year. That's an impressive performance. I think the quarterback, O'Connor, has had a big first half for Rumson. That would be impressive if they can pull that out. Ed, I want also, I got to give you a little pat on the back. You know, we do our Gold Coast Cadillac football picks every Thursday. They're on our website at ShoreSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Gold Coast Cadillac, located on Route 35 in Oakhurst, a half mile south of the Monmouth Mall. You are like on fire.
Yep.
17-1 last week. The only one you missed was the South North game,
which we
all missed. For the season, Ed, you are 52-13 and have opened up a pretty decent lead. You're three games up on, you're four games up on Stump. You're four games up on Batters, five in front of Mr. Harmon, and six up on me as I can't seem to get out of last place. Hey, we know we got Scott on the phone, so let's go to him real quick. Here's the managing editor of Shore Sports Network, our guy, Scott Stump, who is at Rumson. Scott, give us a little update.
Rumson up 28-14 at halftime. St. John Vianney came out on fire. Anthony Brown throwing the ball all over the field. They took a 14-0 lead, but Mike O'Connor, the sophomore quarterback for Rumson, exploded after that. He's rushed for 189 yards and three touchdowns in the first half alone. So no Charlie Volker for Rumson, but no problem right now, as they have well over 250, almost 300 yards rushing in the first half.
That's a staggering total, Scott. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and they Rumson started out, they went 3-and-out in their first drive, and things were looking a little bleak because St. John's was moving the ball at will, but they tightened up the defense, and O'Connor has showed some great speed. I mean, outrunning some good athletes on St. John Vianney for touchdowns. I mean, with only 24 seconds left in the half, O'Connor broke off a 74-yard touchdown run and then threw a two-point conversion pass to make it 28-14. So clearly that this Bulldogs team is fired up to prove that they're a lot more than just Charlie Volker.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, you got to be surprised yourself, right? Is it the offensive line? Is it just the speed of O'Connor? What is it?
It's a combination of both. I mean, O'Connor has turned some small creases into some huge gains, and the offensive line has also done a great job. Vaccarelli, one of the other running backs, has 89 yards rushing at halftime, and on two of his big runs, the offensive line has completely sealed off the left side to allow them to get to the edge and break it down the sideline. But, yeah, Rumson is clearly fired up and is playing like a team that looks like, you know, that defending Central Jersey Group 2 champs, and a team we thought would be the front runner for this A Central Division title. Still a long way to go, though. I mean, that Vianney offense is dangerous, so it should be a good second half here.
Scott, let me ask you two quickies. Number one, did you get a chance to talk to Charlie Volker in any sense on how long he's going to be out? And two, any of the things that have happened in the games today, anything really surprise you?
As for Volker, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to him directly. I mean, Coach Brian Baxter, Volker's probably still questionable even for next week's game against Long Branch, which is a big non-division one with playoff implications.
Yeah.
So far today, I'll have highlights from the Ocean versus Manasquan game. Manasquan, James McAlary, over 200 yards rushing in a 14-7 win. Squan defense, what a turnaround it's been for them. They gave up 41 points in the season opener to Raritan. They haven't given up. You know, they got a shutout against Holmdel. They held Monmouth to 6 points, and even the touchdown from Ocean today was in the last 20 seconds. Other than that, though, most of the favorites just, you know, taking it to people. Long Branch, 35-0. Damir Willis, 300 yards rushing. He has over almost 800 yards rushing in the last 3 weeks for the Green Wave.
Wow. That's impressive. And of course, I know you're up there, but Saturday night in Jackson, Jaguars, Brick Green Dragons, that one could be a little bit special, huh?
Oh, that should be a doozy. I mean, not only with huge A-South implications, but now that Jackson's also in Central Jersey Group 4, you know, if they can find a way to beat Brick, they stamp themselves as the front runner. But either way, I think that's going to be a tremendous game. And if, you know, if people on the shore are looking for something to do on Saturday night, they should absolutely head over to the Jungle.
Well, I'll be there, and I imagine you will as too. So we'll converse a little bit on Saturday. As you know, Ed will not be. He's going to be inducted into the University of Charleston Hall of Fame this weekend. He'll be leaving early tomorrow morning for Charleston, West Virginia. Where else would you want to be in October?
And not only that, for baseball. That was the biggest upset. I had no idea.
What do you mean?
We always knew
I was
he
a
was
baseball
a guy.
I was a baseball guy in college, that's for sure.
Stumper, we'll let you get back at it. Check out ShoreSportsNetwork.com after all the games and tomorrow for all of Scott and Bob Batter's recaps and videos. Great stuff, and I'll talk to you on Saturday night, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. There you go. So Rumson offensively just
must be hanging
out
with the cheerleaders there. Did you hear the noises in the background there?
You know, I'm glad we didn't have a lot of time with Scott. I didn't give him any chance to
talk about Northwestern and Penn State where he attended last week.
He had a great time last week. He went as a Northwestern grad, went to Penn State. And I'll tell you what he told me on the phone this week.
Go ahead.
Penn State fans were totally classy. Not one bad thing said. A lot of people congratulating him, say, hey, you were the better team today, deserved to win. What else would you expect from my Nittany Lions?
Well, you know, he had a Penn State shirt on.
No, he had Northwestern
okay.
shirt.
He had purple on? Okay.
All right, listen, we want to thank our guest tonight, Jim Portella, Trevor Cowley of Red Bank Catholic, Ray Fattoruso, Coach Rob Dahl of Brick, of course, Coach Callahan from Monmouth University. Great work by Harrison Stevens back at the studios of the Shore Sports Network, and, of course, Tom Tremblay here making everything work and even giving us a little light on the subject, huh?
Going to work on the parkway now with these lights.
You got to bring sunglasses next week.
Exactly.
Ed, have a good trip down to West Virginia.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone here at the Water Street Grill. They're the best around these folks here. We'll see you next Thursday night on the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.